The early church at Rome apparently needed a lesson in unity. The lengths that the Apostle Paul goes to in establishing that Jews as well as Gentiles will be forgiven and accepted by God points to conflict within and around the Church of Rome. So Paul needed a positive metaphor to express the kind of unity that God and Jesus wanted. And so the Apostle Paul chose the metaphor of the body of Christ. In my opinion, it's better than team or family. You can take a break from being a member of a team, and you can go on vacation or take a break from your family, but you can't take a break from the different parts of your body. Paul isn't the only person who has reminded us that we are called to be united and to be loving. 13 years ago, from that exact spot, I preached my first sermon here. It's amazing. Time passes, time marches on. I preached about a Black Eyed Peas song, "Where Is the Love?" I didn't rap it. That would have been bad. But that song simply calls us to love. It's poignant. It was a sentiment we all deeply needed to hear. In the years since then, things in our world have grown perhaps more dire. Paris, Belgium, Turkey, San Bernardino, Orlando, and the list goes on. Today, our scripture passages, two simple passages, remind us again of our call from God to not see ourselves as independent bodies, but to see ourselves as one body, as one beloved community. Our faith challenges us to live in unity even when the world is trying to pull us apart. To love even when it's really hard, and to build community despite all odds. Hear now these sacred words of Scripture.
Our reading from the Old Testament is taken from Psalm 133. Should you wish to follow along, it may be found on page 563 of your pew Bible. Hear now Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life evermore. Our reading from the New Testament is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 9, and may be found on page 157 of your pew Bible. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
September 11th, the tsunami in South Asia, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy, the Newtown shooting, the Syrian refugee crisis. Tragedy will always be part of our lives, the fabric of our beings. It's sad. And yet after tragedy, what happens? Kindness is felt, community is built. I think that's because we all want to be connected. We all want to feel loved and important. So after tragedy and we feel so vulnerable and alone, we come together. We come together to form communities. We come together to be the beloved community. On September 11, 2001, people from nearly 80 countries died in a horrific acts. After those acts, people gathered together to light candles, to pray, to mourn. People gathered together to share their grief. Flowers were left at embassies around the world. Memorials were built throughout the world. People gathered to pray, to sing, to share. People gathered. In the New York Times on September 12th, there was a young man quoted saying, "I don't know what to do. It's a confusing time. So I went to Union Square, and there were lots of other people." And the French newspaper Le Monde on September 12th printed, "Today we all are Americans." The world was shocked. The world was horrified. The world was united. My husband, Rob, was a freshman at New York University. His first day of classes was September 11th, 2001. He walked to class and saw the second plane hit. Rob could have gone home. You see, we both grew up in Connecticut. He could have gone home, but he didn't because one of his roommates was from Puerto Rico and one from Kentucky. So they stayed. NYU canceled classes, but they stayed. And Rob tells a story of later that day, they were walking down towards the wreckage with a sinking feeling in their stomachs. One of his roommates' father worked on Wall Street, and so they were just walking. And Rob remembers looking up and seeing people, a line of people, and thinking, what's that about? And then he realized it was all for a blood drive. People coming together, people gathering. Rob says the sense of community in New York City, you could go to any bar and people were just together, talking, loving. It didn't matter what sports team was their favorite or what their religious affiliation was or which political party they belonged to, people were together. So this is the thing. After tragedy, we come together, but our faith tells us that we can't just do it after tragedy. That each and every day, day in and day out, we are called to be the beloved body of Christ, a community. So maybe we can take some notes from what happens after tragedy, but that day in and day out, we are the beloved community. Ruth Thompson was a woman who knew how to live life well. She's the middle person in this picture. And you see, when she lived in Colorado, she taught special needs adults. It's a population that's often ignored and nobody knows what to do with it because they've aged out of the school system. But here they are, special need adults, and they need community. So she taught in Colorado, and then she moved to Northern Texas, where she began cooking classes with these adults so that they could feel more independent and confident. After 10 years, she retired, and she had a dream. Actually, she had the dream two nights in a row. And in the dream, there were tables and chairs and people, her kids, her adults, serving food. Everyone was happy and giving hugs. After the second night, she said, "I think I better tell my husband about this dream." And she did. And she said, "I have a dream of opening a cafe where the workers are the special needs adults, where they can feel respected and loved and valued for the gifts that they bring." Her husband smiled at her and said, "I think we know what our next project is." Hugs Cafe was born in McKinley, Texas. So she had to find a spot where they could have this cafe. And she really wanted it on the Main Street area, but that real estate was super expensive. Then she looks at a for rent sign and she notices that it's someone from her church who owns that piece of property. So she goes to church on Sunday and guess who sits in front of her? She later said to her, she has no idea what the pastor said or what songs they sang, because she was so focused on getting this piece of real estate for her beloved Hugs Cafe. Her friend, who she talked to from church, said, of course, this would be perfect, and gives them a very reduced rent. So it was born. Their mission is to give these special needs adults a place where they are respected and loved and nurtured, and to give the community the gift of knowing that we are welcome no matter who we are, and that we all have gifts to share. Their mission statement, if you go to their website, you can tell is just ingrained in Ruth's heart and soul. And what happens is really neat. She has employed 25 special needs adults. She also has teams of volunteers. And she tells this story of Mary, one of the volunteers who's a retired special education teacher, who was standing with Ken, one of the special needs adults, at the front door greeting everybody. And afterwards, Ruth, the founder and owner, says, "How was it?" And Mary cries and says, "We all want to belong. We all want to be part. And this cafe gives people meaning." So there's different workers at the cafe. Ooh. Sorry. I'm actually not going to tell you too much about him, but two of them. Ken is one of the workers at the cafe. In 1991, he was thrown from a car and had a traumatic brain injury. He was a teacher. He works 4 days a week and calls Ruth after every shift to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to work. Kathy, she has cerebral palsy. She's 41, never held a job in her life. They gave her the job of making toast because she walks with a limp and her hands are restricted in movement. And Ruth explains, oh, she's way more than a toast maker. She's a salad maker and a cookie baker and a toast maker and a greeter and a hugger. She's a go-getter. And her mom wrote Ruth a note and said, the sparkle is back in her eyes. We all have gifts, we all have strengths. Ruth explains that, yeah, and we all have quirks, and maybe these peoples are a little more visible than the rest of us, but we all deserve a place to be loved and cared for and nurtured. At Hugs Cafe, they gather every morning for a time to say a prayer, to do a simple cheer, go team, and to give a group hug. Ruth's mission is to change the world one hug and one smile at a time. That community is unique, no doubt about it. But I don't think church is all that different. Here at church, we can welcome and nurture. We can hold back those judgmental thoughts, yeah, that we all think. But we can be a place where everyone, no matter their ability, no matter if they're lost in the outside world, can be welcomed, can be cherished, can be loved. And you see, if I'm going to talk about the beloved community in First Church, then I should talk to all of you, right? So I had the pleasure and the privilege of talking to six of you over the course of the last 10 days, young and a little bit older, about what does church mean to you and what does it mean to build a beloved community. So you get to hear their voices. This is actually the second question I asked, but it's the first that you'll get to hear. What qualities does it take to build a community? Hear the voices of your parishioners, your friends sitting to your left and to your right.
You need to talk to people, you need to make connections with the people around you. Just building connections.
Friendship, commitment, team building, like-mindedness.
You need people who can give. People who are willing to support each other, and people who are...
Then I asked, what are the first three words you think of when I say First Church? I did not pay any of these people. When we were practicing yesterday, Paul said, oh, come on, like, I did not plant them.
Family, love, community.
I think of community, support, and friendship.
Community, love, and fellowship.
We come here to feel loved, to feel nurtured, to be supported. We're not the only church in town. We're not the only place or community you can feel that. But this is a special one. Give an example of where you see a beloved community here at First Church.
Yeah, in the Senior High Fellowship, all the high school kids get together and we've become a really close community with all of our fun and games and good discussions, learning about each other a little bit.
Lay life.
Lay life? What does lay life do?
That's the answer.
I know, it's true. What does lay life do? Do they put
help with all the big activities that are going on and like the dinners and stuff.
Yeah. Do they work together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they have fun?
Yeah, they have fun. Mm-hmm. But their meetings are boring.
Mission activity, giving, and because we are Christians, they know us by our love.
Our call is to go out into the world, to create community, to love deeply, even when the world tells us otherwise. You know that Black Eyed Peas song that I preached about over a decade ago? They're re-releasing it. I just found that out last night, so you're not going to get to see it here at church, but they're re-releasing it, so I encourage you to go home and Google it. Where is the love? Those words are timeless. And one of the band members talks about, in an article I read last night, that his grandmother, after 9/11, told him that he couldn't sit on his butt any longer, that he had to go out into the world to heal it and to love it with the gifts that God graced him with. Friends, our call is simple. We are to get off our butts and to go out into the world to heal it and to love it, because if we don't, who will? And this beloved community has something special, so we are called to share that with the world. The world needs it.